Welcome back to the Pop Culture Abstract Podcast. This is Jay, and this week I looked at the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Toner from Nerdcast, part of the podcast I used to be a part of. Now I'm doing my own solo thing. Toner's trying to get back into it too. So we went through the Marvel Cinematic Universe and ranked all the movies 16 to 1 in honor of the release of Thor Ragnarok. I'll throw my first one out there, Thor the Dark World. It was just it was a forgettable movie. I don't really remember very much about it.
Right. Yeah. When I was going through, I remember a long time ago we were talking about these movies, you know, it was before the last couple had come out, and I remember saying that I had Iron Man 2 at the bottom of my list, and I'm thinking, because it was almost just Iron Man 1 again for the most part, you know, not a whole lot of difference really.
Yeah.
So another guy in a big ass suit. I mean, Mickey Rourke's a great actor and all that. I don't know. So I mean, I went with Iron Man 2 as the worst one. Then I have Thor: The Dark World. You know, next.
Yeah.
If we're gonna go out of turn here, I would. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. Thor: The Dark World is pretty low as well.
I think there's 16 of them out. So at 15, I had Thor, the first Thor movie. Thor just isn't a character I'm really fond of. I've never really gotten into him, so the movies didn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, and I like the tone and the feel. I mean, not to go totally off, you know, topic here, is apparently Ragnarok, you've heard it's doing really good on, like, Rotten Tomatoes, if you judge a movie by Rotten Tomatoes, but just the reaction it's getting and stuff. And I feel like it's not taking itself as seriously, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not saying they're just like, you know, fuck it. It's like, I think they're just trying to have fun with it, is what I'm saying. Like,
it seems like with the first one... Yeah, with the last few movies, they seem to, like, just Marvel in general, they're going for different genres. And from what I've heard, Thor Ragnarok is going to be more of a comedy than anything we've seen previously. Probably closer to Ant-Man than anything.
Yeah. Right. I'm not saying it's not ripping off Guardians of the Galaxy, but I think they realized, hey, we can go kind of, like, lighter in tone and just, you know, have fun with this stuff. You know, let's not overthink.
Yeah.
I like the way it's going. But yeah, so let's go ahead. Iron Man 2, then Thor, The Dark World. Yeah, I'd probably put Thor 1 right after that for me.
Yeah.
So that would be what, number 14?
14,
then?
Yeah.
So I'd put Thor right above, yeah.
See,
sounds about right.
I've got Iron Man 3. Just...
Oh, yeah, that's close to you. go ahead.
The extremist story in the comic is really cool. They just didn't pull it off with the movie. The stuff with Pepper just kind of got annoying in there, too. I was kind of glad she didn't show up for a while until Spider-Man, just to kind of give us a break.
Yeah, exactly. And, I know nothing about the Mandarin. I'm not going to pretend to. When they started doing the trailers and the marketing and all this stuff, and they had was Ben Kingsley playing him, or, well, the fake Mandarin, whatever.
Yeah.
The way they were going with it, I was like, oh right. I'm like, all right, this guy's like, I'm playing around.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Matt saying a while back, like, they could have, the way the tone was going and stuff, or how they were projecting Ben Kingsley's interpretation, at least to the trailer and all that, he could almost been like almost like a Ra's al Ghul type, or even kind of like a Ra's al Ghul in a way, where just like just cold calculated, like, I'm just here to destroy shit. I don't care. Just, we're going to F shit up. So I was like, okay, cool. And then you see how it was done. Like, the guy who was end up being the Mandarin was never really the Mandarin, you know, in the comics and stuff, if that's right. And it wasn't a bad movie, but you can tell they totally screwed up with the villain, I think.
It was like, let's throw a twist in there just to throw everyone off. And it just kind of killed it. The Mandarin in the comic book is Tony's, like, number one nemesis, and making him the actor kind of took away from that. But the flip side of it is the Mandarin character was very, I don't want to say racist, but it had a lot of racist ideals to it when they created him. So he doesn't necessarily work like the original version of him. So I think that might have been part of the reason why they changed that a little bit. They were going with Asian stereotypes for the character.
Oh, okay.
So
I can see why they changed that then.
Yeah, everyone's so sensitive now about that.
Oh, well, yeah. And because, I mean, Guy Pearce, I liked what he did in the movie and all that. I thought he did a good job. It just, after seeing it, I'm like, do they screw that up? Or it's another one of those things how I have no problem when you're releasing a teaser of like a trailer and you kind of, you know, like you say, you throw a twist in there.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's ideally you want that twist to pay off or be like, oh shit, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But like you take a, and like, and plus you make Ben Kingsley. I mean, I'm sure the guy got paid pretty decent to do his little bit in that movie, but I don't know. It just seemed like he was a, when you get a quality actor like that, you think you want to utilize that and like make him badass. And like, now he does have a, he was what, a failing actor who's hooked on drugs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, they paid me in drugs to do this. I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's like, all right, whatever. But yeah, so I mean, I would put, I would put Iron Man 3 was gonna be my next one.
Yeah, my so, next one.
It's funny, I have Iron Man 2, Thor the Dark World, Thor, then Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right. Okay. I had Incredible
That's what
Hulk.
I got.
So, yeah. I had
you have that low?
Yeah. I mean, it's just hasn't stood up compared to everything else that they put out. And you've had a new Hulk since then, and they've done him better in the Avenger movies than they did in his own movie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when that one came out, it was definitely night and day better than that. I don't know what Ang Lee was trying to do.
He was
like, I've tried watching that again, and I'm like, dude, that's just that. That's just bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was trying to put a comic book on the screen, which was kind of cool with the effects of like the panels sliding across. But the movie itself just, it was shitty.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But this one was definitely better. Edward Norton didn't pull off the Banner character as much as I was hoping he would, but.
I like Ruffalo.
Yeah,
if I'm picking better. Plus, I guess Norton wasn't really. He didn't seem like he was keen on really doing the movie, or I guess he wasn't keen on doing anything like long term with the character, really.
Well, there were some issues on the set too with him wanting to do rewrites and having more control with the script, and Marvel wouldn't give it to him. So that's why they kind of parted on bad terms.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know all that.
Yeah, he wanted a lot more control over it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the Incredible Hulk down that low, but you can definitely tell like it followed a cookie cutter type of screenwriting or flow where you got Hulk going up against mere mortals, out and outgunned in that first scene, like when he turns.
Yeah.
And then like, okay, then they step it up a notch where they got more soldiers in there, and then they got those like it was almost like those sound kind of like pulse cannon type things that were they're like really loud and like piercing and all that, and like, okay, but he still gets out of that pretty much unscathed for the most part. And then, you know, they bring in the Abomination for him, so it's like the incremental, you know, difficulty and stuff. So I'll give you that, but maybe I'm just biased because I like the Hulk, so I have him up higher.
Yeah,
but let's see, I will probably put, I'll do, and it's not because I dislike it, just compared to everything else, I'll go with Captain America: The First Avenger, the first one.
Okay.
But next, not that it's a good origin story. I don't dislike it, but when which is good is that obviously the next few Captain America movies have gotten better. You want them to, you know, obviously improve on the story and character and everything else. I changed my mind. I'm gonna go Avengers: Age of Ultron next.
That's the same one I had actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now that I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely a. Because obviously there was a lot of hype after the first Avengers did really well, but I don't know. It really seemed like they were bringing in, and it's not that I'm upset they didn't bring in like Thanos already.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were definitely just the tone like, hey, this guy's out there. You know, he's coming soon. But I don't know. It just seemed like a step backwards pretty much.
The way they did Ultron, he almost seemed too cartoonish compared to what they'd done previously. I don't know if it was maybe the James Spader voice and the way he talked, but something just didn't seem right. And I felt like the adding in Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, and Vision just kind of fell flat. They didn't seem like great characters in that movie.
I liked his voice, him voicing the character, mm-hmm. but I guess he definitely seemed, he was definitely almost like an angry teen at times, kind of in a way.
Yeah.
Like I remember when, He ripped off Claw's arm, like, you know, he thought he was like one of Stark's creations and stuff. I was like, damn, like this dude really hates Tony Stark. And it just seemed like it was almost like instantaneous hatred of like, you know, Stark or, you know, shit, even humanity.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm like, yeah, they kind of, I felt like that was kind of like shoehorned in really quick. Like for a program that was supposed to be the protector of, you know, the world, so to speak. Like there was no kind of like gradual like an awakening, becoming self-aware, like, man,
yeah.
Like the whole like Terminator Skynet type thing,
yeah.
You know, like, oh shit, like, you know, humanity is a threat, and you know, we got to terminate them all. But this was like, it was already there. There was no kind of like, you know, gradual like awakening, if you want to, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So
the, I will say yeah, the redeeming factors for this movie were the Iron Man Hulk fight, which was really cool seeing the Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty sweet.
And then it set up Spider-Man Homecoming with Tony figuring out he doesn't need his armor. He doesn't need all of his gadgets to be a hero, which he points out specifically in Homecoming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because you go, I guess you saw a little bit of that too, because in Iron Man 3, he was pretty much out without his armor there for a while.
Yeah.
And he had to do things on his own or kind of, you know, use his mind to be clever. I mean, the guy's a genius. So, and I guess even he was kind of relying a little bit too much on his technology, where he's like, you know, I'm the one who makes the suit. The suit doesn't, you know, make me, so to speak.
Yeah.
You said you had Avengers Age of Ultron at the same spot?
Yeah.
So what number is that?
That was 12.
Is that 12? Okay, got it. All right.
All right. Number 11, I got Iron Man 2. Like you said, there was a lot of rehash of the first movie. Justin Hammer in the comic is a really cool character, and getting Sam Rockwell to play him was a perfect casting, but he was just completely underutilized, and they haven't even talked about him since, really.
Yeah, I thought about that. Like I'm hoping he makes a comeback in some way, shape, or form.
The only time he's been mentioned was in Luke Cage about the Chitauri bullet that could pierce Luke's skin. It was made by Hammer Industries. Yeah. So Hammer Industries is a big weapons maker, like a rival for Stark. And they could have really played up that angle a lot more and used it since then, but they haven't even touched on it.
Right. What was the guy's name? The big villain in Luke Cage?
Is it Diamondback?
Diamondback. Yeah, Diamondback. Yeah, that suit he was wearing, wasn't that also made by Hammer?
It might have been.
I want to say that was another Hammer Industries type thing, if I remember correctly. But I mean, yeah, there was obviously references to him in that. You know, in Luke Cage. Yeah, but like him, I just have questions about, like, obviously he's still around somewhere. I mean, more than likely arrested.
Yeah.
After what happened in Iron Man 2. I'm also curious what happened with Abomination as well, just going back to the Hulk real quick. Like, you know, he had him probably in some type of superpowered cell somewhere, unless, you know, unable to get out. It just makes you wonder if they're going to try to bring him back in some. Like, he can't be your big bad again in a Hulk movie, but, you know, he didn't die.
So yeah.
It's like, going to act like, you know, just he's done, or they're going to try to bring him back in, you know, some capacity. Just makes you wonder.
They really could have appeased fans with him and shown him in the prison in Civil War.
Oh yeah.
The raft. They
because, well, I know in the comics, once he changed, he was stuck in that form.
Yeah.
Permanently, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. So you had Iron Man 2. Let's see, looking at this list. See, ranking these is kind of hard because it's really, out of all of them, they've had way more hits than misses.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree.
And yeah.
And it's not to take anything away from Iron Man 2 or Age of Ultron. They were good movies. It's just compared to everything else that's come out, they're the weakest ones.
Right. And like I'm looking at everything else, like it's not that it's sucked. I'm going to have to go, for me personally, I'm going with Captain America, the First Avenger. It's just compared to everything else, it just kind of pales in comparison to what I have ranked above it. I mean, good origin story. I like Chris Evans a lot. I like how they got him started in the universe. But
yeah,
there's a lot of good movies ahead of it, I think.
I have that at 10, so the next one. And 10. Yeah, it's definitely the weakest of the Captain America ones. The Red Skull, just, he was a weak villain in the movie, and he really shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I mean,
That's actually been a...
What's his name, the guy who played him? Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I liked him, and plus, I don't think he's dead either. I don't know where the hell he ended up going.
Yeah.
It looked like he went somewhere like toward like Asgard or something is what it looked like. Or somewhere in that, one of those realms, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Hugo even had a desire to come back. I don't know. It seems like he's biting the hand that feeds, it seems like, at times.
Yeah. He originally said he didn't like the makeup and he didn't want to do it again. But I think he's backed off that since then.
And like, I get him, you know, dissing he never watched any of the Transformers movies, you know, he just, you know, when he was voicing Megatron and things like that, which, you know, all right, yeah, I can understand it, like, but dude, I mean, they're paying you a pretty, you're getting paid, I guarantee you, a decent amount to do this. I just don't understand people, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, shitting on their work, so to speak. Like, I can like Edward Norton, if he wanted more, like, hey, look, I'm not going to like being a diva about it, but like, yeah, I think I have a way to, if you have a way to improve the story in some way, shape, or form, or, you know, have a way to positively impact the movie, then I think, you know, studios shouldn't be like, you know, hey, shut up, we're paying you to act. You know, I think you need to hear, especially a guy like him, seasoned actor whose resume is proven. Like, you want to hear him out. But like with the Hulk, it's like, I don't want the Hulk so like story driven that it's taken away from like the action aspect as well. Like, I just want to see, you know, a computer generated, you know, guys, you know, just throw down for an hour. It's got, I want a perfect mix of everything. And I think if Norton were to have that much creative control, it almost would have been like more about, you know, like maybe Banner than the Hulk or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And there are two things with that. It was the second Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, so they were still kind of finding their footing for anything non-Iron Man at that point. And it was also co-produced with Universal, who still had the distribution rights. So they had say on the movie.
I keep forgetting about that. Universal's got the rights, I guess.
Yeah.
So
that's why we haven't seen another movie.
Which that doesn't make any sense to me. You obviously see. I mean, the movie they did. All right, you know, it wasn't bad. I think people still had a bad taste in their mouth in the Ang Lee one, so they might have been hesitant on this one.
Yeah.
Even though it was, you know, going to be part of a shared universe. I think it did well. And I was looking at the release date. I didn't realize it came out a month after Iron Man. It's like, oh, shit. Iron Man was May 2008. Incredible Hulk was June. I was like, oh, shit. I knew they were close. I didn't realize it was that close. But him backing out and Ruffalo in, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see. I had Captain America. You had Iron Man 2. Is that what you said?
I said Captain America.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so I was doing this all in my head because I had the list here. Damn, these are tough.
Yeah, at this point, I could pretty much just go with the flavor of the month and put whichever one higher than the other ones.
Right. All right, I'm going to go. Screw it. I'll go Doctor Strange.
That's what I got, too. So
yeah.
I just don't have a huge connection to the character. It was a great movie. Good story. Perfectly acted. Not a character I was really into.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed, like when I was watching this movie, you know, I liked it. You know, Marvel being Marvel, you know, doing everything right for the most part. In any, whether it's TV movies, whether it's Marvel or DC, when they start with their kind of like, I don't know if you want to call them a street level, but maybe more like somewhat grounded in a reality, even if it's fantastical, some type of even, you know, scientific reality, like Iron Man for example. It's not out of the realm of possibility. That's something that can be happening. It's going to happen. I mean, and not a distant future. And granted, everything that suit can do in, you know, these movies and the comics, yeah, that's probably not going to happen for a long while, you know, if at all. But it's grounded in, like, okay, fancy-ass, like, some type of exoskeleton here in the future.
Yeah.
But any type of, like, mystical, like, mysticism-type stuff, it just seems like it takes away from it. Like, not to go off on a tangent, but was it season 4 of Arrow, for example. They went with Damian Dark.
Yeah.
The whole and they were going with mysticism and things like that. They brought in Constantine for an episode. And when it went that mystical route, I'm just like, man, like the first three seasons of Arrow, I liked it a lot. Four was like, okay, this was definitely weak. But I feel like they rebounded in season 5, going back to a more, getting away from that mystical stuff.
Yeah, more grounded.
Like with this one, and even when they bring in like Iron Fist, I'm just like, I don't know. When you're going, veering off into that, like I said, the mystical mysticism type stuff, it just I get it. You have to lay the groundwork for it because I know this guy's an Avenger and everything else in the comics and all that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting too old for it. That could be a possibility as well. Like I didn't dislike it. I thought it was great, but you can just tell the kind of veers off in a totally whole, you know, different direction. Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't mind that side of it.
So, yeah, Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I had it at 9, too.
I mean, I'll still watch. Yeah, I'll watch Doctor Strange, too, you know, whenever that ends up coming out and all that. It's just, I know what I'm thinking. I'm just trying to put it into words. It's kind of hard to almost, like, do, like, a natural progression to that. Science, technology, and it's like, boom, magic. Like,
yeah, but they kind of have to lay the groundwork of that to get to the end game, which... I mean, they've laid it a little bit with the sci-fi side of Guardians of the Galaxy, using the mystical side of Doctor Strange,
and
all intersect into Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all going to work out. I think Benedict Cumberbatch was good. And that movie had a little bit of everything, too. I don't think it took itself too seriously either. It definitely had a decent amount of comedy in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had fun with it. Yeah, I definitely didn't dislike it. It's, as I just said a few minutes ago, it's hard to rank these things, especially now.
So, yeah, my next one I have, though, is Ant-Man. And I loved Ant-Man.
Yep, that's where I was going
to
go.
It's a great heist movie with a superhero twist to it. It's just everything above it I just have more ties to.
Yeah.
I don't think I could think of anything to change in that movie except for maybe some of the Yellow Jacket stuff. Other than that, it was a great movie.
Yeah, Paul Rudd, that dude just... not knowing anything about that character, just I think he was good. He did great. Total guy, like, you know, not cut out for that type of... Like you said, he's a thief, pretty much. Not cut for the superhero cloth, but to be kind of thrown into that. Yeah, I liked it. See the stuff with Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I was going to bring... I was going to bring him up because I thought that was a perfect choice for a Hank Pym who would be a mentor to Paul Rudd's character. I just kind of wish Hank Pym in the comics is more the same age as everybody else. And I kind of wish I would have gone that route a little bit, but I really can't complain about having Michael Douglas in the Marvel Universe.
Right, right. No, it's, yeah, I think he did really, really well. I'm going to go with probably Volume 2 of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Another, I mean, obviously a solid sequel. I don't think it was, it wasn't more of the same. I don't feel like when I say Iron Man 2 was just an extension of Iron Man 1, I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was so much in that, an extension of the first Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it was a solid sequel, but seeing the Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, being just kind of a whole new, almost like a breath of fresh air, so to speak, for Marvel. Like, that movie kind of came out of nowhere, and came out of nowhere. Not like nobody knew it was coming. Just that the impact that it had, you're like, holy shit! These no name, you know, anybody who doesn't read comics, like, you got a whole bunch of no name characters, talking raccoon in a tree and shit. Like, okay, but so yeah, I mean, I was always gonna have the first Guardians of the Galaxy rated higher than Volume 2. Again, we got some badass actors in there. You got Kurt Russell being the villain. Well, plus just seeing Sylvester Stallone in there, even though he really didn't have a major part in it, just, you know, adding to the story.
And that was
about Yondu and all that stuff.
The Stallone stuff was interesting because that's all Easter eggs for the original Guardians of the Galaxy comic book and setting up a way they could go in the future with a whole different team.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know anything about his character. I just saw that, I guess it was near the end. Was it, I don't know if it was a mid-credit scene? Where they were at Stallone and Ving Rhames?
Yeah, and those were all characters from the 90s Guardians of the Galaxy comic series that's set in, like, the year 3000.
Oh, okay, got it.
I didn't have Guardians
just
2.
These, you know, I oh. mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't have Guardians 2 there. I had Captain America Civil War in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's...
Sorry, go on, sorry, yeah, what's your explanation for that?
I feel bad for putting it down at 7, but it was a good movie. I wish it would have done more with Baron Zemo. I love the comic book version of Baron Zemo. They would have had a whole future of stuff they could do with him based off comic books. But he was underwhelming. It was cool to see Black Panther, but just everything above it. There's something about these other movies that put them above this one for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, yeah, I get it. Yeah, those Captain America movies, they've been, it's like each one has kind of gotten better. And I think it's, that one was tough because it almost was like another damn Avengers movie.
Yeah.
They had pretty much almost everybody in there. But the way they balanced and juggled everyone being in there, yeah, I mean, that's well done.
Yeah. So my next one was Guardians 2. So I had Guardians 2 at 6. And I guess the only thing, it didn't hold up to the first movie because the end battle, just something just wasn't right about it. Fighting Ego, I don't know. I guess I was underwhelmed with how it all worked out.
Right, right. No, I get it. I didn't realize he was going to be the villain when I saw the movie. I knew nothing about him in comics and stuff like that. I just figured, because when I saw the teaser, I don't think it really showed. Now, granted, I've been laying off teasers a lot more. I've just realized that Hollywood now is really. Because just getting people to the box office anymore, I think they're finally realizing, like, oh, shit, it's becoming a struggle. They're like, hey, the internet's really the way of the future. Yeah. People are really just starting to stream everything. And between, you know, Ultra HD shit coming out now and sound systems, people are like, hey, we can just wait this stuff out and enjoy it in our home and everything else. So I think they're just finally giving away too much in trailers to really just draw people in. I mean, that's my, you know, theory on it. So I've been laying off. But I've watched a little bit here and there, but I never like stood out like who the like villain was going to be. So I guess I was kind of when that happened, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the Ego was the bad guy.
They always show fighting, but they didn't really show who they were fighting against.
Yeah.
So yeah, right. That was an interesting way to make him the villain the way they did it.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I didn't. Yeah. And I think at times it's like, I like knowing stuff about these characters just from, you know, reading the comics and all that. But then at times I'm like, well, I don't know. Is it good? Is it better that way to know or better to not know? Because I knew nothing about Ego or a lot of those characters.
Yeah.
I'm almost just kind of like going in, not knowing much other than what I've seen from the previous movies where, you know, how they're all kind of like interweaving and stuff, obviously leading up to Infinity War and all that. It's almost like, you know, kind of like splitting hairs now where you're like, well, I guess this movie was a little bit better than the other one. But I guess I'll go... Maybe next time I'll actually write this shit down in numerical order. I knew the ones I love, the ones I hate.
Yeah,
there's one kind of in the middle. You're like interchangeable.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have. Yeah, I guess I'll copy off you. I might go Civil War. Yeah. I don't really have a reason. I mean,
it was a good movie.
Well, because obviously I haven't gotten to the Winter Soldier yet, and I'm not going to, you know, say where I have it. It's just, well, Civil War was an awesome movie. It's just, what's the guy's name? You said Baron Zemo?
Yeah.
That was that guy who, like, was manipulating.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I knew nothing about that guy. I just knew that I had seen that actor before in other movies. I mean, he's a quality actor, and so I'm assuming, I guess he's going to be back in some capacity. Obviously, he's just, you know, like everything else, not dead.
Yeah.
In jail at the moment, so these guys always have a way of getting out.
Yeah. So I guess with that character, part of the problem is he's such a more grand character in the comic book. Like, he was the descendant of a Nazi and hated Captain America, and he was very smart and manipulating, like he was in the movie, but there was just so much more to him. At one point in the comics, he creates a team of superheroes that are actually supervillains, pretending to be superheroes, so they can get in good and take over the world.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, he's super smart, but in the movie, he just came off as this Sokovian soldier that was upset with how things played out, and he just wanted to make them pay for it.
Yeah, he was definitely manipulative, cunning, and stuff, so, but, yeah, not knowing about, besides, that's where you had, like, that inside information.
Yeah.
Like, that I didn't, like, yeah, I know nothing about the guy. Just, all right, okay, yeah, he's all right, he did his job, he screwed some stuff up. But, yeah, started the Civil War.
Yeah.
So, within the, you know, Avengers, so. Okay, I guess for, all right, number five. Okay. Yeah. Well, looking at the remaining ones here, obviously I had the Hulk a lot higher, but I'm biased. So, but seeing at the five that remain, I'll five. Just Hulk for me is kind of like, you know what? If I can't be Superman, I'll be the Incredible Hulk. That's just me.
Yeah.
Like, well, if I can't have those powers, I don't, the Hulk is just, he's, while he's a rage monster, so to speak, you know, he's pretty much triggered during, you know, in times of intense pain, trauma, or, you know, anger. He also, but he's like he's your protector. He fights for good, pretty much, or, you know, he's really doesn't attack until pushed.
Yeah.
But even though he's kind of like, he's obviously, how can I put it? Like, I haven't read a lot of Hulk comics, but it's almost, he's kind of, I don't know if, like, caveman is the way to put him, and that, as far as, like his speech,
yeah,
you know, how he talks and stuff, it's kind of like...
Simple-minded.
Yeah, exactly. Banner's like a genius, where Hulk is just, you know, pure, like, brawn, mostly, that, yeah, you know, doesn't have Banner's intelligence and things like that, just, But, no, I mean, to introduce how the Marvel movie started out and stuff, I liked, I don't know, I'm just biased. Are there better movies than the Hulk? Yes. But, you know, being my list... And maybe just being one of the first couple to get the universe going. I guess, yeah, that's why he made my five. I still think, and plus, I still like the look of that Hulk. I mean, even though that came out in 08, so shit is approaching, you know, 10 years old on a, you know, CGI and everything. The look of that Hulk was pretty badass, I thought. I definitely like how the Hulk now, it definitely looks like Ruffalo a little bit. Like, it's not like a spitting image of him, but you can definitely tell that, like, okay, that's definitely Ruffalo, that they're, you know, doing it off. Where this guy, like, the Incredible Hulk looked nothing like Norton, but it was still just, I just liked his look.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was just the longer hair, the way the muscles were done, just that look was cool, but obviously getting a new actor to play that role. And plus, I like the look of what I've seen for Thor Ragnarok, so I'm curious to see how he looks and what he does in that movie.
Yeah. So I have the original Iron Man, and it's hard to put it down here, but like I've said all along, there's things about the other ones that put it above the rest. And looking back, the other stories that I have ahead of it stick with me more than Iron Man has.
Right.
The Ironmonger was kind of a forgettable villain, which has been the story of Iron Man movies. But you got to see...
Yeah, that's true.
The defining part of the movie was the origin story, him making that first suit of armor.
Right, right.
And then if you don't have that, you don't have anything else that's followed it.
Right, right. It's... Just that movie, it was the perfect, if you're going to have the movie to jumpstart, you know, a cinematic universe, you're like that, you know, like, well, and you hope it pays off. I mean, that movie did. It was great. Great story, obviously great casting. It's like Robert Downey Jr., like, shit, Ryan Reynolds. Like, those are just guys, like, who else could you have, you know, in that role?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you're going to have to, at some point, Downey's going to either get too old or just, you know, maybe like, okay, look, I've done a shit ton of these movies. I've enjoyed it, but, you know, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Have somebody else, whether it's somebody else play Tony Stark or just somebody take over the Iron Man suit or whatever. But no, yeah, it was a great stepping stone or a jumping off point to get the cinematic universe going. And shit, they've had hit after hit
Yeah.
since, what, 2008. And here we are, this coming Friday, which is what, November 3rd, mm-hmm. 9 years later, and still making a ton of money.
Yeah.
And for the most part, putting out quality stuff. So, sweet Iron Man. So, what do you got at number four?
Avengers.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
You get to see all of this that they'd been building up to pulled together, and you get these characters together, and it just works so well, and no one outshined anyone else, and it was just a perfect team movie. And I think it's Justice League is going to try to strive for, and I don't think they're going to hit it.
Yeah, I'm definitely Justice League. I think Thor and Justice League, they're going to get me whether it's opening weekend or not. They'll get my money to go to the theater, just because I'm like, shit, I want to wait, you know, what, 3 or 4 months to stream it or whatever. I'll be a little too impatient on that. I think after what happened with Batman v Superman, and then obviously Wonder Woman was a hit. I mean, it's not like it was not a sequel to any means by Batman v Superman, but also with what happened with all the post-production shit for Justice League and doing these different, all those reshoots and stuff, I was like, okay, that's either a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. We're going to... Bottom line is, I'm going to give it a shot and hope I don't get burned again. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and to bring someone in to work on something like this, having Joss, who's already done it once, is probably the right guy to work on it.
Right, yeah. And I was just kind of wondering, like, why they had, like, hell, I think they did, like, $25 million worth of reshoots and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, damn, that's like a fairly modest, you know, just regular movie budget.
Yeah.
You know? $25 million, that's a lot of movies get made just for that, and they just had their reshoots. I'm like, damn. But it seems like these movies have been made, obviously, yeah, they're very heavy on CGI. Obviously, a lot more CGI is used than, like, your practical effects. But
yeah.
It seems like we saw footage for Justice League, God, how long ago? Damn near, it happened over a year ago, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think
some of the
it was
first footage?
Like, San Diego last summer, I think.
Yeah. So I'm like, damn. So, I don't know all the ins and outs and nuances. I just know, I mean, and reshoots are normal, but it just seems like, man, it seemed like the movie was in production forever. And I thought they were, like, well into post-production. Like, hell, they're still calling back reshoots and all that, which is why they're going to have to, I'm curious to see how they make, because they had to, digitally remove Cavill's mustache.
Yeah.
You know, facial hair for the reshoots, since I guess he was shooting MI6 with Cruise and Tom Cruise, so he had to come back. But I guess his character has a mustache or has facial hair, so they're like, nope, you got to keep that shit. Yeah. So they're like, all right.
Spoiler for Mission Impossible.
Digitally remove that. Oh, yeah. Well, so, yeah. Hope I didn't give away too much. He has a mustache. So, all right. Well, let's see. Number four. I'll put Guardians of the Galaxy in at number four.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, that just, what a great movie that was. Just, that movie literally, and all great movies seem to have everything. Great, you know, action, a story, you know, drama, comedy, the whole nine. Like, I literally knew nothing about any of these characters. And I only knew some of the actors just from previous work. And, like, you know, knew they were, like, okay, they're good, you know, good actors and stuff. But had no idea it was going to be as good as it was. And, like, you know, yeah, like Bobby, just the moment. You know, it's like a raccoon and a tree. Like, I'm just like, I'm not gonna watch this shit. And I mean, I'm a little more open to, you know. And plus, I think these kind of movies aren't, like, you know, up his alley.
Yeah.
Even I was kind of like, all right, I don't know about this. Like, I'm all about it, because it almost seems like Marvel hasn't made a quote unquote like kids movie. They've made it to where, obviously, you know, you can take your kids to see them for the most part. They're not all of them been very, you know, too dark or anything like that. But
yeah.
You're like, okay, is this going to be like, you know, is this almost going to be like a live action Pixar type thing or what? But that wasn't the case at all. The movie had everything. A decent villain.
Setting
up the
future
was good across
movies.
The board. Great story. Yeah, exactly. And it was just fun. You can tell they're like, you know, we know these movies are outrageous, but like, we have fun with it. We're not trying too hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're not trying to make some, like, you know, take ourselves like some Shakespearean type stuff. This is just it's a fun movie. You know, it's set in space, you know, different, well, I think they're in the same galaxy as us, but
yeah,
you know, way the hell out there. I just liked a lot. Chris Pratt, I had seen him before in some things, but I think he was awesome. I had no idea how funny Dave Bautista was. I really had no idea. I mean, I've seen the guy act before, you know. Okay, he's, you know, a big muscle bound dude. Like, yeah, he puts in action. He's a good I've seen him play like villain roles and things like that, but
he
like,
exceeded,
damn, the dude's actually funny.
He exceeded the former. I was gonna say he exceeded the former wrestler persona that you expected, because you hear like Stone Cold Steve Austin or John Cena's in a movie, you instantly kind of groan. But he did very well in it for what it was.
Yeah, yeah, he was good. And I saw him in. Well, he didn't have a speaking role, I don't think. But he was like one of the guys that Daniel Craig had a fight in that last James Bond movie, Spectre.
Yeah.
But he just, like, it's like him and The Rock. You're like, okay, these guys actually are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but no, I like that movie a lot. And I knew looking at that list, I'm like, well, Guardians is going to be in the top five. I just didn't know where it was going to be. But I think, yeah, number four, I got it four.
So, number three, I have Spider-Man Homecoming.
We at top three now?
Yep. So, oh. Spider-Man.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that. Holy crap. Maybe I wonder if I missed one. I thought we were on the same number. Oh, man, I got out of order there. Oh, well, no big deal. Okay.
Right. So, yeah.
I didn't mean to. Nothing against Spider-Man Homecoming. He wasn't going to be my top five, but I guess he's going to be now.
So.
Oops. I'm like, all right. I think I just missed one.
So, I know you just watched it.
All right. So, go ahead.
I thought it was the perfect Spider-Man. Tom Holland nailed Peter Parker and Spider-Man, where previously we had Toby, who was a really good Spider-Man, and then we had Andrew Garfield, who was a real good Peter Parker, and he brought them both together and was the correct age, which helped a lot too.
Yeah, right. I mean, I always knew Spider-Man was younger. I mean, obviously, we're going to have the future movies. He's eventually going to, you know, get older.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had thought about that. Like, the first two Spider-Man movies with, you know, the McGuire done by Sam Raimi, mm-hmm. liked those a lot. And I thought the first, The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, you know, I thought that was quality too.
Yeah.
But then Sony just like decides to, for whatever reason, drive into the ground or just make crap movies like Spider-Man 3. And then, God, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm like, my God. And I might have told you guys this before, but I'm like, if you watch the trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man 2, mm-hmm. then watch the actual movie, you're like, this is not the same movie at all. And but then it was just, yeah, but no, I just.
It's funny you bring that up because when we talked last time about this movie in the initial preview, we complained that we thought they gave away the whole movie, and they really didn't, because it seemed like that fairy scene was going to be the big climactic battle, and it wasn't.
Yeah, because I remember Matt watched it. Yeah, I remember. I think he said it over email or something like that when this trailer first came out. He's like, I'm so pissed off. Like, they gave away the whole movie.
Yeah.
And like me, it's not that I don't care about the character, but I'm like, well, you know what? Screw it. Like, I'll watch it. And yeah. I watched it. And I'm like, okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, seeing that fairy get split in half, I'm like, well, okay. I'm like, you maybe you didn't need to give away that part. But I was like, okay. I didn't feel like I gave away too much. That's just my opinion. But no, it was no, that movie was really good. Definitely the best Spider-Man movie that's come out. And I'm anxious to see where they go with it.
Well, and one of the other things I really liked was the opening of the movie, rehashing Civil War from his point of view with his cell phone footage of it all.
Oh, yeah.
I love that part of it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, he's literally a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I remember in Civil War, he's like, hey, you remember that really old movie, The Empire Strikes Back? And when they're trying to, like, take down when Ant-Man grew into, like, Giant Man.
Yeah.
And I remember wrote it, like, he's like, Jesus, how old is this kid? And he's like, yeah, I know, but I think the kid's onto something. Like, you know, so they take him out of his legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was good. It's seeing that, like, behind the scenes, like, he's like, okay. When he's like, unruh, he's like, oh, I gotta go. That was really good.
Yeah. And then the other thing with the movie, with what we normally see in trailers, it's hard to get a good twist in there. And having Liz's dad open the door and it be Michael Keaton, my jaw just dropped. That was the last thing I expected.
Yeah, I did not see that happening either. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, when I saw it twice in the theaters, I took my daughter the second time, and when that was coming up, I stopped watching the movie and watched her just to see her reaction, and it was priceless.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm like, I did not see that coming. Because when you see him, he's like, you know, total blue-collar worker type guy, and the house that they were, you know, Liz's house, we're like, damn, you know, his parents, her parents make some money.
Yeah.
And of course, you never see the parents for the party and anything like that, then he opened the door, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
And then how he just puts everything together.
Yeah. Keaton, it's like damn. I Keaton's always been. He's a great actor. It's just I don't watch. You know, other than seeing like Batman and a few others, it's like I just don't watch Michael Keaton movies nonstop.
Well,
he can literally like do anything.
And
like,
he disappeared.
Seeing him as a villain, like you know, he was awesome.
Yeah, and he disappeared for a few years where I don't think he really did anything. Like up until Birdman.
Yeah, which I didn't watch. Not that I have any desire. I mean, not that I think it's bad. I know it got, you know, a whole bunch of critical acclaim and all that, but I didn't just, I don't know, maybe one of these days I'll check it out to see what all the hype was.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it was interesting.
Oh, okay.
So I could see why he'd get this role based off that.
Oh, okay, cool. So I'm curious to see, because they did that little mid-credit scene. Well, when they said Gargan,
yeah.
I heard that name, I'm like, oh, I know that name. I did a Google search later, and I guess that's Scorpion, or will be. So,
Yeah, he had a scorpion tattoo on his neck.
Oh, okay, that's all right. I didn't, because I was trying to think. I'm like, damn it, which villain was that?
Yeah.
So
they had all kinds of little hints like that throughout the movie. Like Donald Glover played, he's a character called the Prowler. He's a kind of a hood vigilante type guy, sometimes good, sometimes bad, depending on what they needed him to do in the comic. And then he mentioned his he mentioned his nephew who lived in the area and he didn't want anything to happen to him. His nephew is Miles Morales, who becomes Spider-Man later on in the comic books.
Oh, okay. I remember like before the Spider-Man movie was just getting made and they wanted, I think, didn't they want Donald Glover to play Miles Morales, or they wanted Donald Glover to be Spider-Man, I guess, or Peter Parker or something like that, or take a different.
Fans wanted him for Spider-Man.
I just thought, I was like, okay, Miles Morales, is he like a Hispanic kid or something?
Yeah.
Okay. But when I saw him in the movie, I'm like, oh, maybe it was just a, throwing them in there as like saying, hey, a nod to the fans or something. Like, hey, we know you wanted him in the movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, we put him in there. I didn't know that he was going to be like a possible, you know, future character or something like that. Or
well, they originally
just like a nod or whatever. But
they gave him the nod in the cartoon, the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. He was the voice of Miles Morales.
Oh, okay. Cool, yeah. Cool.
All right. So.
So well, interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, more world building for Marvel Comics.
Okay. Well, hell, I guess nice. All right. Well, I guess I guess I'll put Spider-Man. Shit. Because I still got, we'll see here. I'm not going in order yet, but I know on my list, I still have Iron Man and the Winter Soldier and, okay. Well, screw it. Spider-Man, you made it in the top five. Not that you're not, yeah, you know, he's, I would say it's top five worthy. I mean, just saw it, but he was going to be, I guess maybe originally, well, he's going to be within my top 10.
Yeah.
But it's all right. So he's, he made it. Okay. So, let's see. So we at number, are we at number three now? Or was that number three?
That was my number three.
That'll be three for me as well, I guess. Because we haven't, I don't think I missed anything else.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I just missed a number or something. But no big deal. Right. I can put him in there.
All right. So number two, I have Guardians of the Galaxy. It had that superhero feel to it, but the sci-fi part of it is what pushes it up for me since I've been always into sci-fi. And those characters just felt so natural to me. Plus, when I heard
I can agree. Nothing seemed forced in that movie.
And once I found out the movie was coming out, I went back and did research and read like everything. So I was definitely into it when the movie ended up coming out.
Yeah, I mean, all I knew about it was like what I'd seen from the teaser trailers and things like that.
Yeah.
Then after the movie had come out, I knew Kyle, when I was still living with them. I mean, he would have on Spider-Man or like Ultimate Spider-Man or one of these cartoons were on. And you started seeing more, like the Guardians of the Galaxy started again, appearances like more and more on some of these cartoons. Like, well, like I don't doubt it. The movie was popular as hell.
Yeah.
And the characters are now, going to become household names and stuff. So,
yeah.
Which is, which is good to see.
You're number two.
I'm putting Iron Man 1 there. And one of the reasons is that it's that high. Well, one, it's just a great origin story. Are there movies probably better than that one in the cinematic universe? Yes. But you don't have this universe without Iron Man and the success of that movie. And, of course, Robert Downey Jr. carrying that movie. And this great origin story. And like you said, the villain, not real memorable. And I kind of see, even though it's just one movie, you're seeing like a quick evolution of, Tony Stark. He's obviously kind of a drunken playboy, really doesn't care much about anything, but himself and stuff.
But he gradually sees the impact he has on the world.
Right. He's like, sees what this company's doing. Like, granted, it's not like he's not single-handedly responsible for, arming terrorists and things like that, but he kind of, the veil gets lifted. It's like, holy, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, I've been making money hand over fist from, terms of death and destruction and all that. And he realized, he's like, I can be more than this. I'm not just a Howard Stark's son. I'm not just a warmonger or weapons developer. I can do more for the world than just, create weapons, arm the military, things like that. Solid story, great acting. One of the best origin stories out there.
Yeah.
So
then I think we have the same number one.
So it's, yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, the movie just seemed to transcended the comic book genre and opened it up to everything else that's come since then. It was more of a spy movie than a comic book movie that you could have taken James Bond and put him in the Captain America role and it would have played out the same way.
Yep, exactly. Just that whole, there's one fight, it's not the like one scene that made it, love the movie. I thought everything about it was awesome. Like when he was fighting hand to hand with, before we knew it was Bucky, just fighting hand to hand in the street, during that chasing and stuff, and just the whole thing was awesome. Just the action sequences, and like you said, it didn't feel like a comic book movie. It was just a great movie that had, you know, happened to have comic book characters in it, and it was all, you know, it wasn't like, I wouldn't call it an Avengers movie. I mean, it was, or maybe a mini one, kind of, but the supporting cast, you know, having Black Widow in there. I mean, I love Scarlett Johansson, just not just because she's hot, just because she's also a best character she plays.
Yeah,
you know, she's, you know, she's like fearless. She'll fight anybody. You have obviously Nick Fury in there.
Yeah,
Falcon. Can't go wrong with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, the Falcon was in there.
Falcon. That's right. He's in there too. Yeah, I like Anthony Mackie a lot, and introducing that character was pretty sweet. Oh God, what else? Robert Redford being an agent of Hydra.
Yeah,
and you're like, holy shit, Shield's never been Shield really. It's just been, you know, it's been Hydra. Make it seem like, you know, that, or giving Shield the illusion that, you know, Shield was doing good in the world and all that.
Yeah, that was a big twist I never saw coming too.
Let's see what else? Yeah, we're like, holy shit. Then was it Agent? Oh God,
the other Agent Carter.
Oh my God, what
Agent 13?
I think I'm getting early. I'm getting Agent Carter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I can see, like, I know Haley Atwell. I'm like, why can't I think of the damn character she plays?
Yeah.
But was it the chick who was living across the hall from him? Isn't that her? Is that her niece or something like that?
Yeah, it's her niece.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, got it. But do they tell you that in the movie, or are you just supposed to know that? I don't remember her. I don't remember if they said her name in the movie or not.
I don't think they actually said her name, but they talked about her visiting her aunt, her elderly aunt, and then I think they revealed it in Civil War then when she passed away, and he was kind of shocked to see her given the eulogy.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I remember that now.
Yeah.
I just didn't. But yeah, in that movie, they didn't like just flat out say it. Isn't her? That's right. She was in Civil War briefly. I forgot about that. Yeah, that movie was just bad. I remember when I saw that for the first time, and I didn't. And I did not dislike the first Captain America.
Mm.
But just, I'm like, this movie is just so much just head and shoulders above the rest of the first Captain America, and then just everything that had come out before that. Like, this was just really, really good.
Yeah.
And even though I have Civil War ranked lower, I mean, even Civil War continued that trend. Granted, Cap was like, you know, supposed to be like the main guy. I mean, it was a good balance. Like I said, it was almost a mini Avengers movie as well. But just they've been getting Cap right of all the movies that have come out. Like, granted, like Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3, you know, shit, pretty much at the bottom.
Yeah.
But but all the Cap movies are, you know, they're pretty high up there.
Yeah.
So they're doing something right.
And hopefully they continue.
But yeah, that movie just top to bottom badass. Because I'm curious to see how many more movies. I think, is Evans going to do any, I don't know if he's supposed to do any more solo ones, or, obviously I know he's in Infinity War. Like, I don't know if there's any plans to do any more solo Cap movies, or just more, you know, him being Avengers or other team up movies, or, you know, whatnot.
I think after the next two Avengers movies, his contract is up.
Okay. Right.
That's why there's the speculation he's going to die in one of the movies.
Okay. Got it. Which is, it's one of the things, is like, how far, or, you know, is Marvel going to go on just, you know, like forever? Or because obviously just over time, like this has been going on for damn near 10 years now. You got to figure there's got to be some, you're going to have deaths of major characters like eventually, or somebody's going to retire, step down, whatever. And someone has got to pick up the mantle, so to speak. So
I think they should go the James Bond route and just not even acknowledge it. It's just the next movie, same character. Yeah, it's someone different, but it's the same character.
Yeah, I'm just curious how they would do that. Because I know other guys have played or have taken on the Captain America role. I've just, you know, heard that in the comics. And like Iron Man, you know, just is somebody else wear the suit or something like that? Or, I mean, they know what they're doing. I've, you know, in Marvel we trust. So they've really, as I've said, way more hits than misses. They know what they're doing. I'm just curious. They're going 10 years strong now. Just like how many? Makes you wonder how long they're going to do this. Because like, you know, I don't, I mean, I would hope they'd not, you know, like, I don't see them like rebooting everything, you know, like you don't want to do the same, just, you know, it's like you don't want to do the same story with different actors and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like rebooting it in 10 years or something like that. Like, you've got, like with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out, like, hell, they're like, hey, we have villains and, you know, heroes for years. I'm sure there's people I have never heard of that, you know, they could probably eventually bring to the big screen and be like, oh, these guys are pretty good. Like, I don't know what DC, what they're going to do. Like, I want Justice League to succeed. I'm like, I want it to be head and shoulders above, you know, what Batman v Superman did, or just, you know, anything else. I would love for it to get the critical acclaim like the Wonder Woman did, but, like, you know, it's, they're gonna have to prove themselves, where, you know, Marvel's been pretty much doing it right since day one. I'm just curious to see how, like, you know, how far they're gonna take it, or how long they want to go with this.
They've got movies planned out for the next, I think, 5 or 6 years. I mean, Thor, Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and Wasp, and that's just through the end of next year. And then they've got Captain Marvel, the next Avenger movie, the next Spider-Man movie, the next Guardians movie. And then pretty soon they're supposed to announce what other movies they're going to do on top of those.
Jeez. Yeah, because all I have right now, like, I guess it's like on a wiki date here, just says Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and sometime in 2020. And it says Untitled Spider-Man Homecoming Sequel, July of 2019. So, Jesus, yeah. So they're, yeah, I guess they're going to be going for a while.
And then they got all the shows, too, that they're doing on top of that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering, well, shit, I think, well, Punisher comes out in a few weeks, right? It's November 17th?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely binge watch that. I just got Netflix back, watch season 2 of Stranger Things, so I'm going to keep it through November to knock out Punisher.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to learn more about Frank Castle and all that. I don't know a lot about any comics I've ever read. It's never been the origin stories of these guys. It's like, you know, just I was reading Thunderbolts for a while, but, you know, Red Hulk, Punisher, Elektra, Deadpool, and Venom, I think. And again, that was years ago, but I've fallen off, but I like the whole anti-hero aspect of guys like the Punisher. So
he's had some really good runs in the comics, so it's I can let you borrow some of those so you can get caught up ahead of time. But I, from what I've seen of the show, it's pretty much new stuff. It's not based off any book that's come out before.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I'm like, since it's tied into obviously the Marvel Universe and what's been going on with, you know, the Netflix series and all that, I'm just curious to see where they take it. Are they going to have any type of I don't know if they're going to have any, I wouldn't say crossover of any kind, because I mean, have you watched the Defenders? I'm like, I'm curious to see how the hell Murdoch got out of that building collapsing and all that. So yeah. Like, I don't know if they're gonna have I don't know if they're gonna have any cameos, you know, so to speak. I mean, I know Karen Page. I think Karen Page is in there, right?
Yeah, she is.
Did I see that? Okay, yeah. So I mean, obviously that, but I don't know if they're gonna have any type of other, you know, heroes or villains from past seasons, you know, stopping through.
All new story, all new character.
Awesome. Okay. Good.
Please go to popcultureabstract.com to check out my writing, the social media links, and links to Google Play and iTunes so you can subscribe to the show and rate and review us. A few other links to check out, ijov.net, the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network. You'll find other great podcasts there. Also check out Podcast Land. They do a monthly voting for Podcast of the Month, and you can search for Pop Culture Abstract there and vote for it. You get 5 votes a month. The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids. This week's featured song is Knife and a Cigarette by Odd Robot.